News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. It's a new year, and that means new goals, new projects, and new challenges for our guest today, NHPR President and CEO Betsy Gardella. There's a new programming lineup on the weekends, a new mobile app and website, new local segments on Granite State politics and the arts, and even one of our own programs going national. Not only does Gardella oversee all these efforts, but she's got to make sure they're funded. And along with that, Gardella wears another hat. She's on the board at National Public Radio, where she and other board members have been closely watching the debate over federal funding for public broadcasting amid the so-called fiscal cliff. Today in The Exchange, we sit down once again with Betsy Gardella to talk about all the many changes underway, not only at this station in particular, but the national trends, both in public broadcasting and the broader media environment. And let's hear from you, of course. It's your chance to talk with the head of this news and information service that you rely on. Call in The Exchange number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page or on the Exchange page at nhpr.org. And Betsy, welcome back and Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, Laura, and Happy New Year to you and to all of our listeners. I cannot think of a greater way to start the new year than to be with you and to be able to engage with listeners.
Well, and we hope to hear again from lots of folks this
hour. I hope
so. Good opportunity for them, as I said. Lots of new exciting projects here at NHPR, Betsy, in the new year. And a lot of these got underway in 2012. Nothing starts bang right at the opening bell in 2013. Some new programs coming, especially on the weekends. What's going on?
There has just been this flurry of creativity in public radio. It's really exciting because I think we all know that many of our favorite shows, shows like A Prairie Home Companion and Car Talk, are starting to wind down a little bit. You know, they've been on the air for many, many, many years, and we've all been so excited to see what's coming down the pipeline. And at NHPR, we've noticed that there's a new way of launching these weekend shows. Instead of launching a weekly program, producers are putting together like a five-part series. So shows like Radiolab and The Moth Radio Hour and TED Talks have all been launched as periodic series. And that's given them an opportunity to get listener feedback, to really get their legs on the air. You don't come out with a new show and have it sound fabulous right off the bat. So this has been a great new production model, but some of those shows are now ready to go weekly, and we're very excited about them.
Well, and when you hear about weekly, you think, gosh, you know, are people going to be able to catch that? Will people remember? But as we learned with Car Talk and Prairie Home Companion, it's appointment listening, some
it
of these
is.
Weekend programs.
It is, and some of them will catch on fire. Others may not, but, you know, we make our best estimate about what we think is going to be a good mix of programming to satisfy the curiosity of our listeners. And we've put together a program we're pretty excited about.
Well, let's play a couple clips from some of these new shows, Betsy, because that'll give folks a flavor of what's coming over the airwaves and so forth to them. I want to play a little bit of one of the brand new shows, The Dinner Party.
Welcome to The Dinner Party. This is your icebreaker.
How many existentialists does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know.
Two. One to screw it in, and one to observe how the light bulb itself symbolizes a single incandescent beacon of subjective reality in a netherworld of endless absurdity reaching out toward a maudlin cosmos of nothingness.
Got that? I'm Rico Galliano.
I'm Brendan Francis Noonan, and from APM American Public Media, this is The Dinner Party, the culture show that gives you an edge in your weekend conversations.
You just got a joke from Keshni Kashyap, author of the graphic novel Tina's Mouth. That'll help break the ice, if you can remember it. Later, we'll speak with Wim Wenders, director of the Oscar-nominated dance movie Peanut.
Also coming up, Star Trek's Mr. Sulu is here with etiquette tips.
All right. I have to tune in just to hear Mr. Sulu. Again, that's a piece of sound from The Dinner Party, a new program here at NHPR on the weekends. Has it started yet, Betsy?
It has started, and it's airing on a few stations. I came across this program, and I just fell in love with it. I thought it would be really fun on Friday nights. Kind of a nice way to kick off the weekend. As our listeners could hear, it's a little whimsical. It has a little bit of everything. You know, it's great conversation. There's some humor. There's some culture. They have really interesting guests. We heard some of them referenced in that clip, but they've had, you know, everyone from Spike Lee to Willie Nelson. You know, it's
wow.
Very, very eclectic and very conversational. And as you also heard, it's a show that's coming to us from American Public Media. I think we so often think NPR, NPR, but this is one that's produced by our colleagues in Minnesota, who also produce Marketplace and A Prairie Home Companion. You know, so they're out there. This group is actually based, I believe, in the L.A. offices of American Public Media. So I think it's something fun and different, and we'll put it on, and hopefully we'll get listener feedback on it.
Well, and yeah, just a little Radio 101 for folks who may be newer to public radio listening. NHPR and all public radio stations provide a mix of programs produced locally mm-hmm. here at our Concord studios and around the state, as well as from National Public Radio, which is sort of the big brand name, and American Public Media. We even do a little BBC. So it's important to recognize these other content providers.
Absolutely. PRX is producing programming now, and PRI.
All right. Well, I want to play another little bit of another show that's not quite as new, Betsy. This is the TED Radio Hour. This has been going on for a while, right?
For a while, yeah.
All right. Let's hear a little bit.
The power of the people is much stronger than the people in power.
I find myself drawn to infinite possibility and that sense of potential, and I realize that mystery is the catalyst for imagination.
I actually think in too many places, the opposite of poverty is justice.
The miracle of your mind isn't that you can see the world as it is. It's that you can see the world as it isn't.
What we do know is, if you're not prepared to be wrong, you'll never come up with anything original.
And I thought that was an idea worth spreading.
Here on the TED Radio Hour, we'll hear some of their TED Talks, and then we'll talk to them. On today's show,
the secret to happiness.
Happiness.
All right, and again today in The Exchange, we're happy to be sitting down with Betsy Gardella, NHPR's president and CEO, talking about some of the new programming, new changes online and on the air here at NHPR. And of course, as always, we want to hear from you. 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page or on the Exchange page at nhpr.org. It's your chance to talk with NHPR's president and CEO about some of the new projects here at the station and some of your hopes for this news and information service that you tune into every single day. Again, our number is 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. And Betsy, we heard that clip from the TED Radio Hour. Just real quick, what do you hope that this program is going to bring to our audiences that we're not providing right now?
Well, you know, I think it's just fresh ideas. You know, their tagline was embedded in that clip that you played, ideas worth spreading. And when they started out, they brought together folks from technology, entertainment, and design.
That's where the TED comes from. I get it.
And they started putting these TED Talks online. And as of, I think, November of this last year, over 1 billion TED Talks have been listened to online.
Wow.
So these are ideas that have gone viral in a big way. And this is a show that's being brought to us by NPR. They recognized that this was just such a great fit for the public radio audience. So they started producing these shows this last year. And Ari Shapiro, who we all know as the ATC host on the weekends, is moving over to host the TED Radio Hour. So I'm very excited about that. We're looking forward to having it on the air. And I think we are going to be playing at Saturday afternoons, early Saturday afternoons, where we've got some really pretty strong listening. So I think that's going to be very popular amongst our listeners.
Well, and maybe another example of the synergy between online and on the air, as you mentioned, this got started.
Right.
Just real quickly, Betsy, a couple other new programs coming, including one called Ask Me Another. Now, we already have a quiz show, Wait, Don't Tell Me, beloved by many. What's the difference?
Well, Ask Me Another is... It's an NPR-produced show. They're working now with WNYC Radio on this show. They recorded, I believe, in New York. And it is hosted by a woman named Ophira Eisenberg. And this is actually a show that we brought to our community advisory board and had them test it. And it, between you and me and our listeners this morning, there was some pretty animated discussion about, you know, who liked what, the host, the jokes, the sensibility. And so what we decided we're going to do with this show is at the beginning, middle, and end, we're going to remind our listeners that this is a brand new show and ask for listeners to send us their feedback.
Really?
So we can pass it along to the producers. When Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me launched, it was terrible.
Really? I didn't know that.
It was in a studio. It had a different host. It took them a couple of years to get their sea legs. Ask Me Another, I think, has tremendous potential. But the feedback is going to be really important. So we really want to be proactive about that and get feedback. And I can say to our audience that from the community advisory board standpoint, it tended to be the younger listeners who really enjoyed the show. So we'll see how that evolves over time.
And there's one more new one, right, Betsy?
There are the other big new one, which many of our listeners are familiar with. But again, this is a show that's just going weekly, is the Moth Radio Hour. And that has just been a sensation, both as a digital podcast and as a radio property.
That's been one where I find myself having those classic driveway moments. It's just storytelling, right? In its purest form. There's nothing fancy about it.
What's so fabulous about it is it started out at a performance space in New York City. They now do the performances all over the country, literally. But they're stories that are performed without scripts or props. So there's something very, very spontaneous and real about it that I think really engages our listeners because we are about the voice.
All right. Well, coming up after a short break, I hope we hear from the voices of our listeners today at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. More with Betsy Gardella coming up.
This is NHPR. It's 9:19. Good morning, and more with NHPR President Betsy Gardella coming up on The Exchange. Then at 10 o'clock on The Diane Rehm Show, we get analysis of top national issues for the year 2013. Members are the lifeblood of NHPR, and more than a quarter of ours are sustaining members, providing a stable monthly income for NHPR all year long. Sustainers don't have to remember to renew their membership and are automatically entered into all NHPR drawings throughout the year. You can find out more at nhpr.org. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and support also comes to us from People's United Bank, offering home equity loans to help manage individual financial needs. People's United Bank would know how can do, member FDIC, equal housing lender. And Ansel & Anderson, providing legal services including wills, trust, and estate matters in Bedford. Information at ansellpa.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, an inside look at new projects, new plans here at NHPR. We're sitting down with our president and CEO, Betsy Gardella, as we kick off the new year. And we invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477. Your questions or comments are welcome at 1-800-892-6477. You can send email to exchange at nhpr.org. or post a comment on our Facebook page. And Betsy, in our first segment, we talked about some of the new programs coming to our airwaves, especially on the weekends. But it's not just on the air anymore, it's online. Additional content coming online, Betsy, tell us about that, that there just isn't time to provide on the air.
Yeah, you know, it's been really interesting, and we've all been learning as we go. Because we know that, well, all of us, you and I, spend a lot of time online doing things that we used to do the old-fashioned way. And not just email. I mean, we used to call the travel agent. Now we go online and we book our reservations directly. You know, you just have access to so much at your fingertips. And we know that for the coming generation of listeners, they don't own radios. It's just not the technology that they grew up with. They'll listen in their car, but they'll listen on their phone or on their tablet. Those are their devices of choice. So we want to make sure they have access to our content. And this is a generation, unlike generations before them, where they have sat in the back seat listening to public radio. They know it's there and they want it, but they want it the way they want it. And so the development of apps, the development of our mobile app, we're actually in right now in a upgrade of our apps. And by the beginning of March, we're expecting that we'll have an upgraded app for the iPhone, as well as a Droid app and an iPad app. So we're really trying to build this technology in a very cost-effective way. Our apps don't have a lot of bells and whistles, but our real commitment to listeners is easy to listen to the content, quick to get the update, the news updates on their phones, on their devices. And so those have been our priorities. So we're getting those in place. We have the mobile website now and the iPhone app. So no matter what your device is, you have a really easy, intuitive way to listen to NHPR. So that's one piece. It's sort of the multi-platform piece of this.
Sort of the way people access the information.
Yes, and it's just the tools. But we also know that there is an opportunity for us to take the richness of an interview, for example, that's not going to fit in a radio story. So there are many, many themes that might come up when a reporter is talking to a politician or about a topic of some concern in a local community. Well, we can put that in a transcript online. We can live blog an event. We're doing a lot of blogging, especially around the topics of business and the economy through the State Impact Project. We will be live blogging the inauguration tomorrow. So for people who are not able to listen to the radio and participate in the coverage that way, if they can go online or they can pull up the mobile website, they can follow along. You get a little bit more color with that. It's not the formal transcript of what's going on. It sort of captures the scene. And so it's very, very fun. And we've been able to do so much more of that over the last, I would say, over the last year. We worked with we worked the NPR on our website. They're kind of our back end.
NPR.
Yes, sorry, their digital services department. And that's allowed us to make constant improvements to NHPR.org in a very, very cost-efficient way. And they do a lot of research, you know, sort of user experience research so that we understand what our web users like, how they like to find content online. And it's really helped us over the last couple of years. In fact, year to year, the number of visitors to our website have increased 43%, and our page views are up 60%. So I think that's a combination of maybe we're doing it a little bit better and more people
right.
are turning to the digital because it's an on-demand experience.
Do you have any idea, Betsy, maybe not even hard numbers, but any idea how many listeners join us on traditional radios and how many join us via other methods such as, you know, mobile phones and other devices?
Well, our listeners on the radio, our most recent numbers are 185,000 weekly listeners. So we do continue to grow. Listeners might remember the last time I was on the show, we were at about 180,000 weekly listeners. So we're growing, and that's terrific. In large part, that I think that new listening comes from the North Country because we've really invested a lot in expanding our signal. So the basic fact is more listeners can hear us and they're excited about that. So they're tuning in. I do have numbers for September, October. And we had 280,000 visitors to our website. And we had almost 600,000 page views.
Wow.
So that's pretty active. That's pretty active use online. In terms of our iPad app, our iPhone app, I think we have about 5,000 listeners who have downloaded that app and are using that app. So that's fairly new for us. We feel pretty good about those numbers.
Well, it's a lot to keep track of and a lot to fund. And I'll talk to you about that in just a moment. But I also want to invite our listeners to join us at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email us if you'd like. exchange@nhpr.org is the address. Again, the number for you to join us with your questions or comments for NHPR President and CEO Betsy Gardella is 1-800-892-6477. And Betsy, here's an email that just came in from Richard. He says, my question is about reception in the White Mountains. Is the Littleton transmitter going to be upgraded? Also, any chance of reception to NHPR Classical being extended? And Richard says, thanks.
Okay, thanks so much. Reception in the White Mountains. I'd have to understand, well, our engineers would have to understand exactly where you are and where you're getting good reception and where you're not. We've got several signals that come into the White Mountain region of the state. Littleton has just been upgraded. And so on the eastern part of the state, you can get the Littleton signal. We also have a translator in Plymouth. So that's sort of the southern side of the White Mountains. The signal in Jackson is actually a very good signal. So it does a good job of reaching that area. And we have the Berlin signal that comes down from the north. We also have the WeVo signal that reaches up. So we're doing what we can to cover the White Mountains. If there are particular spots that we're missing, we'd love to hear about them. And you could just go online on nhpr.org and shoot us an email and let us know.
To Mike Saffel.
To Mike Saffel.
Chief Engineer.
Would be anything that has to do with the transmitters is going to be forwarded to Mike. And then we can get back to you and let you know what your best option is for listening to us if you want to do something that's not an online service.
Right.
Now, in terms of Classical New Hampshire, that's a new service for us this year. And in terms of traditional radio, you can only hear that in the Concord region.
I see.
It reaches out to Hopkinton, Bow. If you have a digital radio, or if you'd like a digital radio, you could let us know and we could broker that for you. And you hear the WeVo signal, the 89.1, with a digital radio, then you can listen to the Classical service. But outside of the Capital Region, listening online is the way to go.
All right. Well, Richard, thanks especially for that email because, Betsy, we always do get questions about reception problems in this area of the state or that area of the state. Mm-hmm. So it's great to know that, you know, Mike is there and we can try and help folks work through that. So thanks, Richard, for the email. You can email us, too. The address is exchange@nhpr.org or call 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And Betsy, Mike is joining us from Lee. Hi, Mike. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate
sure.
it. I just have a bunch of comments that you can kind of just respond to as you want to after I'm off the line. One is I just want to note that I listen via an internet radio myself, and that's because even though we're in a pretty good part of the state, the actual reception here is quite bad. So it does help to have that. And that may be part of your listenership that's counted as online, which isn't quite online. It's with an internet radio. Kind of a major issue I would want to emphasize is if, remember, you want to be able to keep NHPR as a separate niche in the media markets. Since there's so much else out there that, for example, covers pop culture, although I think we all need to know what that's about. If we get too much into that on public radio, it's probably going to lose its special appeal.
So can I ask you a question about that, Mike? So what do you mean you want NHPR to occupy a special niche? What do you mean by that?
Well, it's something that makes me want to listen to it other than other media. One simply is because it's audio, and I can use it at times when I can't otherwise.
While you're brushing your teeth, right?
I'm brushing my teeth. While I'm brushing teeth, when I'm exercising, you know, I exercise maybe 5 hours a week, and I can get that much audio time in. And sometimes it's audio books, and sometimes it's some NHPR. So that's important.
But the programming you feel occupies a special niche and should continue to.
Yeah, I mean, there's it. I hope it's not going to be superficial. I mean, it's nice to be fun sometimes, and I appreciate the fun stuff. But at the same time, I get really bored with things that are at the level we often get in regular media.
So, okay, Mike.
I appreciate shows like Radio Lab and Media Matters. That kind of thing. And
Mike, I'm going to let you go because I've got a couple other people. And I want to also, Mike, give Betsy a chance to give her thoughts on what you said. I think it's an important point that you raised, Mike, and that is this is a valued news and information service. We're big players these days, Betsy. By we, I mean NHPR and NPR. But we're also different. We occupy, as Mike said so well, a special niche.
Right. No, he's absolutely right. And I don't see anybody seeking out the territory that we currently occupy because it is it's very demanding work that we do, both in our local news coverage, in our commitment to our listeners, the kind of the quality of the programming that we produce. It's expensive, and if you're a commercial enterprise, you're not going to go there because, you know, it's not a huge profit center. You know, it's always a balancing act when you're looking at a programming schedule. And what we know from the research and from the feedback that we get from listeners is that the weekends are a time when people want a little break from the news.
Sure, they kick back with the dinner party or whatever.
Yeah, so the fun kinds of programs that we have but we certainly keep that mix of hard news in on the weekends as well. I mean, the caller mentioned On the Media, which I think is one of the most substantive programs in public radio. They're the only ones that do what they do. And we really love being able to bring that to listeners. Something like On Being, which looks at, sort of spiritual issues or issues of conscience or just basic human values, an enormously thoughtful program. You can just feel when you listen to it the care that's gone into every hour of those interviews. And, you know, so that's really valuable. But I think shows like Only a Game, which is informative. It's the one kind of sports show on public radio, and it's one of my favorites. I think Bill Littlefield does a fabulous job. And then Wait, Don't Tell Me, and the storytelling, I know that listeners really enjoy those. So we have Morning Edition, Weekend Edition on Saturday and Sunday. We have ATC in the evenings. We have the smattering of sort of the
so still
hardcore
news on the weekends.
And serious information. I think when the caller was, when Mike was saying that he really liked Radio Lab, I think he's saying, I like the substance. That is such a such an interesting show because the hosts are so compelling and their investigation of these ideas is so rich with science and context that we just, you know, sink into those conversations. And I promise that will not go away.
Thanks a lot, Mike, for the call. You can join us, too, at 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Email us if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. And Betsy, I want to switch gears for just a moment with you and talk a little bit more about the funding. So all the news this morning is the fiscal cliff deal reached yesterday, sequestration, those automatic cuts that were going to go into effect, but now they reached a deal, so they won't. How does that affect the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which funds a small portion of public radio and TV budgets?
Well, there's an immediate upside to the fact that a deal was made. Stations receive community service grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and it's not a grant that you apply for because you're doing some special program. These are funds that we receive because we're carrying out a public service mission. And just as we were talking about before, this work is very, very expensive work. And I think that our federal government has made a commitment over the years to support educational programmers to make sure that there is a basic level of support for this kind of work. When sequestration became a concern, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting got their funding for this fiscal year, but they pulled 10% of that money off the top and put it aside.
Just in case.
Just in case. And so our CPB grant, our community service grant, was reduced by 10%. Now that we've, at least for the time being, for a short time, solved this problem, I believe that we will receive that 10% back. So that's great news for us. It's about $35,000 that we will receive that was at risk. But, you know, the funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting always has some uncertainty around it. It's been politicized, and you know, I think with the results of the last election, we've perhaps, you know, dodged a bullet, but
the bullet will come.
No,
back.
Yes, exactly. That well, we don't have confidence that you know we've finished the discussion about public funding.
Well, and let me ask you this question, and we're heading into a break, so you may not have a chance to finish it, but let me put it out there now. There's an old saying that a crisis can also be an opportunity. What about that, Betsy, this constant politicization and threats to public radio and TV funding? Is that also an opportunity to adopt a new business model? We're a big player now, NPR and NHPR. You know, we're a major source of news and information. So we're not that little tiny educational radio trying to get started 30
sure,
or 40 years ago
sure.
anymore.
Well, you know, it's 7% of our budget, which sounds small, but it's about $350,000, which is
sounds
huge.
Big.
And so they play a really critical role. And I think what listeners don't always understand is that it's the member station that gets the money. It's not NPR and the really big players. They sometimes get grants from CPB, but it's the stations like ours that really rely on this base of funding. But let's talk about it a little bit more after the break.
We'll give you a little bit more of an opportunity after a break. Absolutely. And we've got time for your calls, too. So if you're on the line, stay with us.
This is NHPR checking New Hampshire weather for today. Partly sunny for most of the state. More clouds in northern New Hampshire with some scattered snow showers, especially across the White Mountains. Highs today from 10 above across the North Country, 20 to 25 in central New Hampshire, 25 to 30 in the south. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Rothweigel Dental Care in Bedford, comprehensive family and cosmetic dentistry devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile. Information at rothweigeldentalcare.com. This is NHPR.
I'm Lisa Mullins. PRI's The World brings you more than just the day's news.
Well, the poor old British pub has been around for 2,000 years.
We introduce you to people around the globe.
I'm a Liberian, but I'm part of Africa.
If we were only in Argentina.
I think it's a Scottish thing, you know? This sense of doom there, but it's always kind of amusing to us.
Join us and hear The World, tonight at 7 on NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, a roundtable of state House and Senate leaders on their priorities for the new legislative year. Email us your questions for our lawmakers before the program, asking them what you'd like them to focus on in the year at exchange@nhpr.org. And then be sure to join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today in The Exchange, NHPR's President and CEO Betsy Gardella is here. We're talking about all the many changes and some of the challenges here at New Hampshire Public Radio, some of the exciting new programs and projects coming in the new year. The number for you to join us with your questions and comments are 1-800 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email us, exchange@nhpr.org. And Betsy, I want to go back to our listeners, but did want to give you a chance to finish up that thread. I was saying, hey, you know, given the constant battle over federal funding for public broadcasting, maybe it's just time to give it up and adopt a new business model.
Well, I think if we could figure out exactly how that might work, people are certainly interested in that conversation and exploring it. With my NPR board member hat on, we are concerned about the rural stations. They depend heavily on federal support. And the commitment of public radio and the commitment of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is for everyone in America to have access to this programming. Also, in those more rural communities and on the reservations, a lot of the programming comes really out of those communities. They are, call-in programs where people from the community are talking with their neighbors about how to solve very particular. I mean, it's very grassroots programming and very important in those communities. So we certainly hope that the funding will be continued and that if it were to be, if the model for CPB support were to change, that it would change over a long enough time horizon that stations would have the opportunity to figure out how to negotiate around it, because it's significant. Only 25% of CPB's funds go to radio. 75% go to television.
Wow.
So public television stations would have a very, very steep hill to climb in making up for those funds. But we would, too. It's very important funding to us.
So new business model, though, Betsy. I mean, I know just from working here and from being in this business for a long time that there are new models of funding public broadcasting mm-hmm. out there that, you know, we're kind of moving in that direction anyway.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting time. You know, I've been looking at business models, you know, trying to understand sort of how the larger world works, because I've been in public radio for so long, I'm very accustomed to ours. And I realized there is a name for our business model. Our model is called free. We produce what we produce and we give it away for free. And that's a pretty common model. When you think about commercial radio, that's how they work. If you think about something like Google, it's how Google works. You don't pay when you do a Google search.
Right.
It is free. And free is a model that is supported through advertising. So you aggregate a great big audience and then you attract advertisers and they want access to your audience. So that's the model. But that's not our model. Because we couldn't do that even if we wanted to. We are governed by the FCC in terms of what we can say on the air, and we cannot advertise. We have corporate underwriting, but when you think about it compared to advertising, it's a completely different beast, horse of a different color. We never talk about dollars. We never talk about sales. We don't use descriptive language. You can, you know, nothing is the best on our air. So,
in other words, we can't say, go to Joe's barbershop, he's the best.
He's the best. We would never say that. We would give you sort of minimal information because it's our responsibility to tell you what corporations are supporting us. But it's a values thing. We also we want many, many, many supporters. And we feel that we're better able to maintain our relationship of trust with our listeners if our support comes from many, 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 rather than just a few. And so when you think about our model that way, it's not such a bad model because we have individuals, we have our leadership donors, the $1,000 and above donors who have become a very significant source for us. We have foundation gifts, we have the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, we have corporate underwriting, we have vehicle donations, we have studio rental. So we have, you know, a stool with many, many legs. So in a way, we're in a pretty solid position.
Let's go back to our listeners, Betsy. And again, the number here on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. George has been waiting in Wanalancet. Hi, George. Thanks for hanging on. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. I'm a regular listener, except during fundraising. And then I turn over to Maine Public Radio, which does a much quicker job of fundraising. But that's another point. I wanted to say that there's a new device that I don't like on public radio, and that's the repetition. On word of mouth, for instance, many different people say, word of mouth, word of mouth. On Radiolab, I sometimes get the idea that a very serious, very interesting subject is being messed around with by men who are having fun with their equipment. You played a little snippet just early in the hour where a group of people, more than one person, said, happiness, happiness. It seems like it's something new, and I think it should be gotten rid of.
Not your cup of tea there, George,
no,
sort of playing
but,
with sound and so forth.
I want to thank you both for the work you do. I do enjoy NPR.
Well, George, it's good to hear from you. And, you know, he raises an important point. I mean, people are experimenting, things are changing, and, you know, not everything appeals to everybody. I think it's a valid
right.
point. Thanks, George.
Yeah. No, I think that's the case, too. And, you know, we think of public radio in particular as being very sound rich. And maybe George
too
is saying
sound rich
too sound rich,
taste.
You know, and I think it's a worthwhile comment. I can think of some other places. The Studio 360 credits also have that same kind of element. And I think that there is, you know, people are trying to be playful. They're trying to make it enjoyable. It's nothing is going to appeal to everyone. And we get as many likes as dislikes on some of the things that we do. You know, when we do our station IDs at the top of the hour, we have a number of different voices. And some people say, I love that. And other people say, I can't stand that. So, you know, you can please some of the people some of the time.
Well, George, I'm glad we're pleasing you a fair bit of the time. And thanks a lot for calling in. Again, our number 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You know, George also mentioned the fundraising. And he said, I always listen to you except during the fundraising. And Betsy, we hear that from a lot of folks, too. They love what we do except during the fundraisers. Lately, listeners have heard us talk a lot more about sustaining members. Instead of renew your annual membership, we say become a sustaining member.
Right.
Remind us what the difference is and whether this is a big trend or a small trend.
This is a big trend. This is something that we've realized in public radio is that we spend an awful lot of time renewing listeners, and some of that happens, renewing memberships, and some of that happens in the mail, some of that happens on the air during the on-air fund drives. And so many listeners, we know this, you know this because you've answered phones, you talk to people who say, oh, I've been meaning to call, and I realize I missed last year, and who are really, really committed to what we do. I mean, the very first rule for me is, you know, you're going out to fundraise. Do you deserve it? Have you earned it? Have you earned listener support? And, you know, I feel we have. I feel like we do a really good, honorable job in the work that we produce for our community. And the fund drives are an opportunity for us to bring in people who haven't supported us before. But if listeners become sustaining members, just bear with me for a second so I can roll this out. When listeners become sustaining members, they're automatically renewed. And
so $10 a month
until they say stop. And you know, people relocate or people change their habits, and then they give us a call and let us know that. And that's the way it works. But for so many of our listeners who really want to support us on an ongoing basis, but they lose track. Did I give in October or December? Did I give here or there? This is a way for them to just support us in an ongoing way. And about 50% of the people who call in during a fund drive, this is getting back to the fund drive point, are calling to renew their membership. Well, just imagine if all of those folks are sustainers and they don't need to renew. Well, we can cut our fund drives way back.
That would be the hope. That hasn't happened so far.
That is the hope, is that we're able to cut our on-air fundraising back because we've tipped the scales and we have more of our faithful listeners contributing as sustainers. One of the other things, though, that I think is I just ask listeners to think about, and it's a kind of national phenomenon, that only about 10% of the people who listen contribute. And that's something that pains me. I think we're worth more than 10%. And I think if 20%, if we could get to 20% of our listeners contributing, it would make the drives shorter. It would give us the ability to make the kinds of investments that we need to be making in this rapidly changing media marketplace where the demands of digital and audio are so dramatic. It would just be a beautiful thing. There are some stations that perform a little bit higher than that 10%. We would sure like to be one of them.
Wow. So the goal, anyway, is to get more and more people who would renew anyway to become sustaining members, easier for them. And for everybody's sake, the drives would be shorter. We haven't reached that point yet, though.
Correct. This is new for us. We are really promoting, this is sort of from the membership department. The membership department would say this is the year of the sustainer.
2013, you heard it here first, folks.
So we really invite listeners to consider that. The other benefit for us, which is just inside baseball, is that it smooths out our cash flow. Because we have those, right now, you know, we just get all this cash in a couple of times a year, and then you've got the anxiety. Who wants that? We would love to have some reliable cash flow, and the Sustainer program really does that. So it's a little bit more about us than the listener, but it's a beautiful thing.
Well, and we just have a couple minutes left, Betsy, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk about big changes underway at what I'll call our sister program from the Exchange, and that's word of mouth. Word of mouth going national.
Well, we're experimenting. I would say we're dipping our toe in the water there. And, you know, word of mouth produces 4 days a week, and then we do a weekend show, and it's kind of the best of, and it's something that Terry Gross does, Fresh Air Weekend. We've seen this periodically. And so what we've done is, just as I talked in the beginning of the program about the sort of five-show test to kind of get some national feedback, that's what we've been doing with the Exchange. And we put five shows out.
You mean word of mouth.
I'm sorry, word of mouth. We put five shows out this fall. We put out a couple of holiday shows. And the Thanksgiving show got some carriage. The Christmas show got some carriage in some pretty major markets. It was picked up in Chicago. It was picked up in Seattle, you know, as well as many other sort of mid-sized markets. So the goal for us at this point is to get that feedback.
So does that mean that the four-day-a-week program that our listeners are familiar with at noon, will that still have New Hampshire-y segments, or will the focus be more national?
No, actually, we really, the feedback that we got from a listening group this summer is that they really like the New Hampshire and the New England segments.
Sure.
They really like that sense of place, that this program is coming from a place, and that we, that is part of the identity of the show. So that will very much remain.
Well, and you're right. There is an identity to New England. Yankee Magazine, for example, has subscribers all around the country.
Absolutely. So. Yeah.
And Betsy, just lastly, I do want to ask you about something that we talked about a year ago when you came here to check in with us and our listeners. And that's the Community Advisory Board. Just real quick, remind us, that's different from our Board of Trustees.
Yes, absolutely. And we've been in expansion mode with the Community Advisory Board. And last year, this time, when I was your guest, I invited listeners who might be willing to participate on the Community Advisory Board to get in touch with me. And a number of listeners did.
Before you even got back to your office.
It was so exciting. The Community Advisory Board's role goal is to give us feedback on programming.
Really important.
The Board of Trustees does not play that role because there is a firewall between anything that's management-like and the editorial side of the business. But the Community Advisory Board's job is to really act like a focus group representing the community to tell us what they think we're doing well and where we could improve. And we would love to be able to add another 10 people or so to the Community Advisory Board for our next meeting, which will be in April of 2013. So if anyone is interested, it's a commitment of 2 half-days a year. So it's not heavy lifting. The meetings go from 9 to about 2. You get breakfast and lunch. And the Community Advisory Board members that we have, we're at about 27 right now, are so engaged and have given us incredibly valuable feedback. So I really encourage listeners who really care about this programming and want to have a voice to get in touch with me if they'd like, bgardella@nhpr.org, and let me know.
And Gardella, again, is G-A-R-D-E-L-L-A.
Just the way it sounds.
bgardella@nhpr.org. And that's kind of a cool opportunity. If you've got strong thoughts, strong feelings, both pro and con, come join us on the Community Advisory Board.
We talk about the news content. We talk about fundraising. It's a little bit of everything, but the real heart of the Community Advisory Board is the programming.
All right. Well, Betsy, good to sit down with you once again. A nice opportunity for our listeners as well. Thanks a lot for making time for us this morning.
Thank you to everyone.
That's Betsy Gardella again, President and CEO here at New Hampshire Public Radio. Again, her email is bgardella@nhpr.org. Just the way it sounds if you're interested in that Community Advisory Board. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.